Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One you can jump aboard at 713-780-3776. It's how you call. It's how you text. We're on YouTube now at ESPN Houston. You can watch me, my very pasty white face with massive eyebrows and all the facial gesticulations you can handle. You got Sean Mapes behind the glass with his glorious, luxurious mane of hair. No headband today. He's letting it rock. Looks good, Sean. Guys just supporting other guys. Yeah.
No, thank you, Paul. I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's a good hair day for both of us. We both look great. So subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already.
Yeah, see for yourself.
See for yourself. We're hot. We are hot, ladies. Fellas, we're hot. All right, so things on the table if you want to bring it up, because it is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. And now that we're in a bit of an off season for Houston sports, the Rockets, they suck. They are not making any progress. They lost last night. We are a little bit more interactive than we've been the last couple of weeks. So on the table, what bandwagon are you jumping on for the conference championship weekend? Also, entrance music. What would be your entrance music? You know that my entrance music for the Paul Gallant show is harder than you think. In case you didn't know that. Yeah, little Flavor Flav, little Public Enemy. Hell yeah, guys. Hell yeah.
Paul, you're white, really?
Yeah. Now, I didn't know that that was by them for the longest time. I just like the trumpets. Some people like trombones. Others like trumpets. Names Tim said on our comments section, he said the entrance song that he would use is Roll Right by Rage Against the Machine. Is that the Bulls on Parade song?
No, that one's Bulls on Parade.
Oh, okay. No one's sending Pantera, so shout out to no one sending in Pantera thus far. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, I love the NBA. I do. Celtics are my second favorite team in sports. First Celtic game I ever went to, I met Larry Bird before it. And I've always liked the NBA because of it, even though there's been a lot of change over the years. And we've gotten to a point now where players truly have all the power. In a way, it's cool, but it has its drawbacks. And over the last couple of years, we've really gotten to a ridiculous point with NBA players demanding that fans get ejected. And we never know 100% the reason that fans get ejected. We just hear the player side of the story afterwards. We don't usually hear the fans who were kicked out. We don't usually hear from the fans who were sitting around. Notable people who have had fans ejected: LeBron James, Russell Westbrook. And after the fact, you generally hear, blah, 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 blah. He said something about my family. And that's a great shield. Trying to gain sympathy, whether justified or unjustified, by bringing up your family or mental health gives you a carte blanche to essentially like say, like, yeah, like what I'm feeling is right and true. Be on my side. It's the way it works in 2024. I don't write the rules. It's just an observation I'm making. But Luka Doncic took it too far last night in an area where it already has been taken too far. Luka Doncic, during a Mavericks-Suns game, with the Mavericks really struggling, heard a fan say, get your ass on the treadmill, per the reporting of ESPN's Tim McMahon. And I guess there also was some profanity directed at him from the crowd. Profanity at a sporting event where people are paying hundreds of dollars to sit that close to the point where you would actually be able to hear the profanity? Freedom of speech, not a thing in the NBA? But Doncic had this fan removed. Then after the game, ESPN's Tim McMahon asked him about the incident, and Doncic got very, very salty.
When you said about the fan, you know, that was not a true all. That was not the only thing he said. But I knew you would be the first one to point out something like that. I'm not going to say what he said, but I knew you were going to be the first one to put out something like that. So I just saw it, man. It's just funny. You always seem to be the first one to put some bad stuff about me.
First of all, 99% of the stuff I've written about you has been good.
Oh, I don't know.
I was sitting two rows behind us.
All right, so it was the only thing he was, that time he said something, the only thing?
That was what you reacted to.
Yeah, I was hearing the whole first half, right? Oh, you didn't hear anything?
He was definitely hollering.
Okay, there we go.
Acted.
Well, you put out something that was just the only thing. But
okay, the final straw. What was the final issue? What was the thing that?
It's not the issue. I'm just seeing you seems to be the first one to always put something bad about me. That's fine. It's all over.
Why did you ask for the fan to be ejected?
Because he was cursing me the whole first half too.
You would think someone from the Balkans would be a little tougher given what happens at games that take place in Slovenia, Croatia, Serbia. You ever seen those? There's flares being lit, flares being thrown on the court. I'm not even sure if they're allowed to drink at these games, and they're still having a rowdy old time.
Yeah, those go viral, like, it feels like twice a year we get a good video of, like, look at this.
Yeah, their basketball fans go harder than hard. And, you know, as someone who used to participate in a little thing called Yacht Week, the captain on my boat in Croatia was an ex-hooligan for a Croatian soccer team called the Great Whites. He had 4 stab wounds on his chest from that. Like, these people, like, don't F around. But now all of a sudden, someone's saying you need to get on a treadmill? Probably true. Someone saying that is enough to make you want to kick that guy out? Profanity? There's profanity all over the place during an NBA game. Sometimes it's a profanity shouted in exasperation. Other times it is directed at players, and that does suck. If you're sitting around that, do you want to hear that? Like, forget about the players. You know, that does ruin the fan experience a little bit if it's not creative. Creative trash talk, though, is great. And saying that the guy needs to get on the treadmill, that is one way to get under the guy's skin. That's how this thing works. Fans are supposed to be allowed to do that. But we've gotten to a point where all of a sudden this isn't the case anymore. And it makes basketball players so unlikable. And it's not an isolated incident. If it was an isolated incident, great. But it's not. It feels like this happens once a week where a player gets a fan ejected. I hate it. And it makes them almost impossible to like, these players. Hell, totally different subject, but how about Giannis Antetokounmpo all of a sudden doing a bit of a heel turn? I saw a report on ESPN about the firing of Adrian Griffin. They've hired Doc Rivers, paying him 3 years, $40 million now, straight out of the broadcast booth. By the way, can we get Jeff Van Gundy back in the booth? No, we're not going to do that. We were fine with Mark Jackson, but no Jeff Van Gundy. Giannis, in a interview with the media, said that he was surprised that Adrian Griffin was fired. Are you effing kidding me? He was surprised? He orchestrated this. And look, there were some issues, clearly, with the Bucks to open the year. I know the record is good, but ask any Bucks fan and they will tell you. The defensive issues were many. And trying to get Damian Lillard to care on defense, and also trying to get Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo to figure out how to run an offense when Lillard's been doing it on his own his whole career, and Giannis has been doing it for such a long time. Like, there's a lot of things that were difficult for them to overcome. So, I don't know, maybe don't fire Mike Budenholzer. But remember, this is the same Bucks team that just fired Mike Budenholzer because he was perhaps a little bit too intense. Now they bring in this guy, and they fire him as well, and Giannis Antetokounmpo is saying he's surprised that he was fired, even though not too long ago, 20 days ago or so, Giannis, after a 112-108 loss to the Rockets, asked this: what is our strategy? Are we going to give a lot of open threes? Are we going to let them get in the paint? when they go in the post? Are we going to stay with ours and play one-on-one? What is our strategy? Right now, we are giving everything. We are giving everything. We are giving the threes. We are letting guys play in the post and get comfortable. We're giving offensive rebound, blah, blah, blah. He's calling out coaching there. He's calling out coaching. And then you see this giant piece from Verona Shelburne and another ESPN reporter, this expose of what was really going on in the Bucks locker room less than 24 hours after the firing happened. How do you think they got all this information? Where do you think they got it from? With all that, it's a long piece. How did they have all of that ready to go? With specific moments highlighted where Giannis was frustrated with coaching. But Giannis is acting like he's surprised by this. In the same year where he's getting mad about scoring 62 points and not getting to keep the ball from the game after it. These guys are such spoiled babies to the general public. And even if we got to know them, I'm sure we get to like them. Giannis has always seemed so damn likable. But even he's starting to wear thin. This act that like you didn't know that the guy was going to get fired. You made it happen. Just be honest and say, he wasn't good enough. We need a better coach. We need to head in a different direction. No NBA player will ever do that. And now, on top of that, they're throwing fans out left and right from the game when they're paying hundreds of dollars to go. It sucks. I love the NBA. Players are becoming more and more unlikable. Tell me I'm wrong. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. You can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on YouTube at ESPN Houston if you want to respond to that. Up next, you know, this radio game that we're in, it's a cutthroat business. And I think I need to open the kimono and reveal some of the goings-ons here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Here's your host, the Draymond Green of Houston Sports Radio, Paul Gallant.
Well, I haven't kicked anyone in the nuts. No, I haven't kicked anyone in the nuts, Sean. I haven't punched anybody in the face while flailing wildly and then acting like I wasn't punching the person but still apologizing. That has not happened at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh, okay. There we go. There we go. At 97.5 and 92.5. I just would like to see the game tapes of these flag football games. That's all. That's all.
I'd just like
to see if there's any.
There is a highlight montage on my Instagram.
Yeah, I want to know about the extracurriculars. I need to see the all 22. I need to see what you're doing after the whistle.
Listen, you can't control momentum. Sometimes you just.
There we go.
Absolutely. Blast through somebody. But no, but I'm not. That's not dirty. That's just playing hard. Sorry.
Till the end of the whistle.
What whistle?
There we go.
The Panthers are hiring Buccaneers offensive coordinator Dave Canales as their new head coach, which is proof that David Tepper is 100% running the show, and this is the only person that they could get to do it. I will say, Canales had a pretty damn good year with Baker Mayfield. Mayfield is a short. Bryce Young is a short. Perhaps it'll work out. With any coaching hire, you never know if it's going to work out. The only thing I know is that the Titans hiring Brian Callahan is boring. That's really my only take on it. Any of these hirings could work. Any of them could be disasters. But I will assume that if David Tepper is running the show and that they hired the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a post-Tom Brady world, that this is not the top choice for Carolina.
Yeah, it also tells me that this was not, we all from the outside said, ugh. Carolina job. Good luck to whoever takes that. And it looks like that's kind of what this hire is.
It's 100%.
Someone who's like, hey, get some head coaching experience. And I don't know if you're – is it Dan Canales?
Yeah, or Dave.
Dave Canales. It's on TV.
His name is now Tepper's bitch. Let's be honest. That's what it is.
But if you're him, you're – you know, it's your first shot at being a head coach. Maybe you take it. But I can see why when we talked about Vrabel interviewing there, you know, I had a hard time seeing Vrabel or Belichick or Harbaugh taking that job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just if you're a control freak, you can't help yourself. That's not behavior that changes, especially if you're a billionaire.
I was going to say, especially after you're super successful.
Right. Like, this is a totally new world for David Tepper, and he still doesn't understand it. Maybe eventually he will. He probably won't, though. The big thing is just don't do what his predecessor did, Jerry Richardson. Oh, why don't you wriggle in them jeans for me? Or go Daniel Snyder and have weird cameras backstage recording cheerleaders getting changed, among many other things that Daniel Snyder did. But that is the creepiest, in my opinion.
Yeah, like you can blow through coaches. You can blow through first-round picks.
You can blow through blow, like Jim Irsay. Oh, wait, my bad. That is
allegedly.
It was just a bag that he had. He was holding it for a friend, a garbage bag of it.
It was just in his trunk.
Yeah.
Pounds of it was in his trunk.
A lot of pounds.
But, you know, you could just don't do any bad stuff. Yeah. Don't do any actual criminality. Just
right.
Be a bad owner. Who cares?
Exactly.
We need more bad owners.
Be fun.
Yeah.
Don't be a control freak. If David Tepper was fun.
Exactly.
You know, maybe he should have jeans Friday. Oh, wait. No, that's Jerry Richardson.
No, no.
Can't do
casual
that.
Friday.
Casual Friday.
Friday. But don't comment on what people are wearing. Please.
Don't do that. Hey, guys. There's something that happened last week on one of our sister stations, ESPN Milwaukee. I don't know how many people remember Green Bay Packers tight end Mark Kimura. But before the Packers and San Francisco 49ers showdown, Mark Kimura had a very, very hot take on what he wanted to happen to 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy.
A 15-yard penalty for a late hit on Brock Purdy is not a bad thing, as long as it's worth it. I'm just saying, this is the mindset you go into when it's battle. And it's kind of like the reverse of hockey. What don't they do in hockey in the playoffs, Joshy?
Shave their beards?
That and one other thing.
They don't fight.
They don't fight. They don't fight, right? This is kind of like sometimes a 15-yard penalty is worth it early in the game if you knock the living crap out of the guy. And then he, kind of like sticking your helmet in the ribs of Nick Bosa, is like, I'm hearing ghosts.
Now, would that have been an effective strategy for the Green Bay Packers? Well, based off of the 49ers-Eagles game last year, maybe. Maybe. And maybe the Packers would still be alive if they employed that strategy. Honestly, Brock Purdy seemed like he was trying to help the Packers out. Maybe Brock was a little scared of Mark Kimura's hot take and thought to himself, you know what? I don't want to be the subject of a bounty, so I'm just going to help them out. I'm going to help the team I'm playing out.
Going to try to throw a couple to Darnell Savage.
Yeah.
Oh, he dropped it again?
Oh,
come
man.
On, catch that.
But Sean, look, radio's a cutthroat business. Mark Kimura is a former NFL tight end. He's not going to get canned for something like that. But
yeah, and he's you know, been on the field of battle. He knows what it's like in a playoff game.
He's also done some interesting things off the field. I want to look that up. But hey, let's shift it back, because I think it's time that we expose some of the things that are going on here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
When you play the game of
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5,
you win. You die.
It's true. Radio is a cutthroat industry. A lot of backstabbing, a lot of killing, and lots of bounties being put out by radio hosts. I don't know if old Jer Bear Branham of the Killer Bees heard Mark Kimura and felt inspired to put out a hit on Lamar Jackson. Classic Friday news dump by the Killer Bees. But this is Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham hoping that Lamar Jackson would not play the entirety, to put it politely, of Saturday's game.
I was a believer of the Niners for most of the season, but the best team in football. I was looking forward to that Niners-Baltimore game, and on their home field to get destroyed the way they did, that made me a true believer in the Ravens. I mean, yeah, the only thing that's going against them is Lamar's playoff record, but not just beating the Niners in Santa Clara, but whooping their ass. And just completely putting it out of reach early and pounding them was a shock to me. And it sent a message to the rest of the league. That's the best team in football.
I agree with you. I like this team a lot. 8807, you signed Kareem for a reason. Go light Lamar up, even if he slides.
That's brutal.
Is a hit Is it?
They're calling a hit on Lamar Jackson.
That is brutal. I would absolutely. I condone this. I want this to happen. Absolutely. It's a football game. Like, you're trying to win a football game.
Yeah, but Pro Bowl Tyler Huntley.
So what? Bounty gate him. I don't care.
Oh, I don't like that.
Bounty gate him. No, cheap shot him. 15-yard penalty early first quarter. Try to get him out of the football game. You've never been to a conference title, and you're not gonna put him on the line with an unsportsmanlike 15-yard penalty. Absolutely, light him up. This isn't flag football. If I had the option of lighting Lamar Jackson up, it cost me 15 yards. But he has to exit the game with an injury, and I go to the AFC Championship game, and I'm one win away from a Super Bowl? Absolute no-brainer.
Well, yeah, Lamar Jackson won't have a brain if Jeremy Branham gets what he wanted there. Jeremy taking a shot at flag football there, uncalled for. Jeremy Branham calling for a hit on Lamar Jackson, uncalled for. And look, Joel Blank didn't push back enough. Joe George didn't push back enough. They essentially co-signed the death of Lamar Jackson on the air on Friday, and I was forced to, Sean, as a result yesterday, to block both Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank as a result. And I blocked Brian McDonald.
Guilty by association.
Right. Even though Brian McDonald wasn't producing on Friday, no. I didn't block Joe George. I blocked Brian McDonald. Had to. Yeah. Had to do it. Okay?
Couple, you know, Jeremy just... He got to call a shot. He got to, you know, spread this dangerous message out to the masses. Mm-hmm. And we got a couple of Neville Chamberlains out there just letting it happen.
Just letting it happen. And the Mad King is accruing more and more power. These are actual texts I got this week. I'm not making it up. Within 24 hours of each other. Actual texts. So is Branham a moron or what? What's his deal? Legitimately a text that I got from a friend. He said he gives off vibes of another Houston sports host.
Not who doesn't play the game of ESPN 97.5.
No, but he would do well in it, I think. Another text. I think Jeremy is an ill-informed buffoon hot take artist, and I have zero respect for him. Honestly, it gives me more respect for Jeremy Branham that he's eliciting these strong reactions, and maybe that's why he's in afternoons, but I have been forced to block all three of those people because of this. I'm just upset and embarrassed that I work with these people. And speaking of Joel, Joel was blaming me for a tissue that he found on the floor. And then he also, I think, like blamed Josh Beard and Michael Connor. And you know why he did that? Because Lance Zierlein, Littlefinger Lance Zierlein, told him that, yeah, both Paul and Mike and Josh, that they were the ones who left the trash in the studio. When we all know that Lance is the biggest slob at the effing station. But here's Littlefinger Lance here.
Ever since I was a boy, Joel. Ever since I was a boy, I've never put trash on the floor. Ever since I was a boy.
That's, I mean,
Lance Littlefinger here.
He did, by blame, pointing the finger at literally everyone who's been inside the
legitimately
studio,
and here's the thing,
caused a lot of chaos, and chaos is the ladder.
On the way out of studio one day, Lance said, I love gaslighting people here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's not taking out of context. He legitimately said that. And then I got like an angry text from Joel saying, look, did you put this there? Yeah. Now, he might not have been angrily texting it, but it did sound accusatory, and that's another reason, Joel, that was strike two. So that's why you're double blocked. Because I'm going to have to go back to... Because I'm addicted to Jeremy's takes. I'm going to have to go back, like, after a week of disavowing him for calling for the death of Lamar Jackson. Speaking of calling for death, that's the new thing here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Michael Connor called for the death of America's first family on Connor and Beard. Huh.
I am so sick of seeing Travis Kelce's brother and Taylor Swift.
We're going to talk about that later.
I am so sick of it. Yeah, I'm done with it.
We're going to have an intervention.
So overdone, and they are not America's sweethearts.
Yes, they are.
Perfectly
they
honest,
absolutely are.
I hope one of them is still in Buffalo today and they choke on a chicken wing.
Wow. That's what I really hope for. That's not okay. They could die, Michael.
And I would never do any of these things, you know? The great Paul Gallant and Sean Mapes We only get 2 hours a day. Meanwhile, the rest of our station is calling for death and spreading discord. Like, John Granato's the only person who's innocent here. My hero, John Granato, who's on vacation in Cabo. But everybody else...
Which is part of the reason he's your hero.
The other part is because he's the reason that the station makes the money that it does for the most part. Like, this is the John Granato baby, you know? But, like, John Granato's my hero. We got to have him back on the show again. And everybody else is a bunch of sniveling liars, and it does feel like I'm on Game of Thrones often here.
Yeah.
I said sniveling, yeah.
Yeah.
And liars, yeah. And death seekers. Murder seekers. Huh.
Is there something about having a third hour that you become
yeah, I think so.
Violent?
Very violent. And I got called the Draymond Green of the station coming into this segment. And I mean, again, I've never called for the murder of Lamar Jackson or Travis Swift Kelce.
Yeah. You just think Lamar Jackson sucks. That's the one.
Right. Honestly, we'll just lean into it.
You think he's a running back. That's
wide receiver. Nothing wrong with being a wide receiver. You get paid. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean Mabes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. That is the game of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, guys, you thought we were done with cute, recurring segments? There is a lot of yelling and whining going on right now about referees. And some of those refs are hurting Houston sports teams. You'll find out who next is the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
You can also comment on our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston. Curious as to what bandwagon you're jumping on for conference championship weekend in the NFL? You still have any thoughts on that? You can also join us in our Twitch chat too. But guys, it's time for another segment that I think will be recurring. It is difficult to be a referee or an umpire. It's a hard job. Someone's got to do it. Would you want a job like that when you're constantly being told that all refs are bastards? All umps are bastards? Would you want it? Would you feel like you are being appreciated for what you do? Lots of referees aren't. Lots of umpires aren't. So to highlight a couple of stories about shaky calls in sports, it's time to introduce a brand new segment called The Ref Show.
Hey man, referees and umpires have a tough job too.
All lives matter, blue lives matter too. Back the blue, you gotta back the blue.
And stop kidding yourself. They make the games more fun.
I've had enough, you're out of here.
What do you mean?
You can't throw an umpire out of the game.
Yeah, all right. You're out of here.
Welcome to The Ref Show.
Nothing to see here. Please disperse.
Referees, sometimes they blow your whistle. They make the game a little bit more enjoyable. Just like the blowing of a whistle can be rather enjoyable. Because of the noise that it makes. Because of the ears that it perks up. This is not a euphemism. This made me laugh. Ben DeBose is a Rockets reporter here in town. Talks about the Rockets a lot, but watches Houston sporting events. Astros. Texans as well. He hates referees more than anybody alive. I don't even remember this moment, but with 8:33 to go in the second quarter on 2nd and 3, the Texans were spotted about a full yard short and had to punt. DeBose said, NFL officiating corrupt to its core. This was also something that DeMeco Ryans was criticized for not challenging a ball spot. Those challenges never were. It's a first half challenge as well, but I gotta say, I don't think that the NFL officiating is corrupt to its core, like so many. My client here, he's a man who, listen, he does not have eyes all over his face. He is not, as you would say, Medusa with her hair of snakes and all the many eyes. He can only see one thing at a time. He may be older in age because of all the trials and tribulations he has gone through at a lower level of refereeing to get to this point. How is my client supposed to see 100% where the ball is spotted when the technology that we see in tennis for where a ball is and isn't, or in baseball for where a ball is or isn't, why, that's not in the NFL, I do declare. My referee client here is innocent. It is not his fault that he marked the ball short. Mr. Mapes, do you have any retort?
No, I just would like to hear the Southern lawyer, because I imagine he would find himself defending this guy quite a lot.
Yeah.
Can you just say the name Carl Sheffers?
Carl Sheffers.
No, in the Southern
Carl
lawyer.
Carl Sheffers.
Yes, thank you.
My client, Mr. Carl Sheffers.
Sean Hockley.
There's more drama in the NFL, because now there are some conspiracy theorists, like I'm sure Ben, among others, who are freaking out about the referee who is in the rotation for the AFC championship game. I believe this man is named Sean Smith. He's going to be the head ref for the AFC championship game. Warren Sharp put his tinfoil hat on and wrote this. Road teams win at the number one highest rate with Sean Smith. He penalizes home teams in ways no other ref does. And he's calling the Chiefs road game. He's got a thumbnail image with Roger Goodell, Taylor Swift. The NFL wants to get a Super Bowl involving Taylor Swift's boyfriend. Even though Taylor Swift is going to be in concert somewhere else at the same time as the game, I don't think she's going to cancel her concert to go to the Super Bowl, which does make you wonder about how this relationship is going to last. But I feel like this is just random. The NFL is going to bring in Sean Smith to make sure that the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. Do you really believe that? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. My client, Sean Smith, he is innocent here. This is nothing more than fake news and tomfoolery by Warren Sharp and his mustache, which shows that he is trying far too hard. Someone trying too hard with a mustache must be trying too hard with this clickbait article about my client, Sean Smith. I do declare, Sean Mapes.
Yeah, I won't defend Sean Smith too hard because he doesn't spell his name the right way. But, I do think that a lot of these, you know, the Chiefs have X record with this referee. It's like, well, they just win a lot. They're really good.
It's funny.
I think the one from last week was they're 8-2 with whatever ref was reffing the Chiefs Bills game, and then you go and you look at the winning percentage and it's whatever that is. That's like 70.
But no, they played the Broncos every other game.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's an 80% win percentage. The regular season win percentage with Pat Mahomes as the starter.
Pretty consistent.
80%.
Right.
They're pretty good.
Now, this is going to be a little bit more difficult for Lawyer Paul to defend, but Monday night, the Charlotte Hornets-Minnesota Timberwolves game that featured Karl-Anthony Towns setting the Timberwolves franchise record for points with 62
a
in a loss.
Night. Oh.
Right, in a game where
he'll
he was also...
forever.
he was ripped by his head coach afterwards, but this is a pretty bad self-report by the NBA. Wolves Hornets had 10 missed calls in the final 2 minutes. 10! That's literally every possession, I think.
That's like several per possession. There's probably like 3 fouls on the last play with Karl Towns going to the basket.
Yeah. 3 favored Minnesota, 6 favored Charlotte in those last 2 minutes. I don't know where the other one is.
One was just chaotic neutral.
Honestly, the refs might have just miscounted based off of that.
Oops.
Also, as we continue to talk about referees, the Trailblazers, who beat the Rockets last night. Oh, man. Did they do this on the second night of a back-to-back?
Yeah.
They beat the Rockets. Oh, boy. Well, the Trailblazers are filing a protest with the NBA to challenge the result of a 111-109 loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are contending that Coach Chauncey Billup was clearly calling a timeout on the sideline before a referee whistled a double dribble on Malcolm Brogdon with 15.1 seconds left. In response, Billups reacted angrily to what he believed was a failure to honor his timeout request. He was assessed two technical fouls, including a second after marching onto the floor to argue and ejecting the final seconds of the game. Honestly, I gotta say, though, if you're in attendance for that game and if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, isn't this what you signed up for? Like, to have a ref just toss Billups out of the game at the end and everyone just gets to laugh at him? Like, does that not make for a more memorable game-watching experience? My client, the referees for this game, made the game better. They made this game a memorable one when, in January, everybody would agree that the NBA season hasn't actually even started. My client is innocent here, and the Portland Trail Blazers are a bunch of, as I would say, mock-ass little bitches. Your Honor?
There is something fun about a guy getting on the other team, or even your own team, getting ejected at a game that you're at. Like, there is something where you get to go, yeah, get out of here. Get out of here, Chauncey Billups. Hit the road, Jack.
Chauncey Billups. Oh, it's good.
But I can also see why he's upset. But these protests, like, they never get honored.
I would love one of them to actually, like, succeed. And what happens? You play, like, the last 15 seconds of the game?
That's exactly what happened. That happened, it was, like, in 2008 with the Heat. And what happened, there's some miscall with Shaq. But the thing is, when the protest was filed, and between when it was filed and got approved, basically, and they had to replay it, the Miami Heat had already traded Shaquille O'Neal.
So they couldn't do it.
They did.
They did it without Shaq. Yeah. That is hilarious.
They just had Sean Marion on their team instead of Shaq.
He got traded to the Nuggets there, right?
Suns.
Oh, it was the Suns. You're right. Okay. One last text. Someone wants to contribute to the ref show. Take a look at the last play of the Rockets game. That sent it to overtime. The guy took four steps before the shot. My client sees five and six steps taken from time to time. It was just a gather step, as all the nerds online say. My client is innocent here. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
Do you pick up on the ref show talk? We have all established that we are firmly on the Detroit Lions bandwagon for conference championship weekend. First hour of the show, you can check out the podcast or earlier in the YouTube stream at ESPN Houston, where I said that we are a little bit too harsh on bandwagoners. Now, part of that is because I am a man that you could argue over his life is without a city. I've lived in so many, you know, or metropolitan areas. Boston, Tampa Bay, upstate New York, Houston, Seattle. So for me, it's a little bit easier to pull off being a bandwagoner, or as I like to call it, hashtag following the strong. But I think we all agree that we find the Lions to be the easiest to root for of all the teams playing this weekend, unless you're a Lamar Jackson fan or a Patrick Mahomes fan or something like that, or a Taylor Swift fan. But this was an interesting comment about referees by Lions linebacker Alex Anzalone, who was playing for the New Orleans Saints back in the NFC Championship in 2019, the infamous one, the one where the Rams went on to win after the Saints did not get a pass interference call. I will to my death say that the Saints should have won that game handily with how poorly Jared Goff, now interestingly, the Lions quarterback, teammate Alex Anzalone on the other side of the field for the Saints. I still think that the Saints should have won that game. They had many opportunities the first couple of quarters. If you watch that game, like, it looked like the Saints were going to run away with it. Like, Jared Goff couldn't hear what Sean McVay was telling him in his headset. It looked like he was peeing his pants out there. But they settled down. And also, Drew Brees threw an overtime interception. They could have just won the whole thing in overtime. So I still think the Saints could have won that game despite that call. Alex Anzalone, or Alex Anzalone, I don't know how to say it. Alex Anzalone. When asked about that game by Jim Rome, he said, "The biggest thing that I've learned from that experience is don't leave the game up in the hands of the referee." And I agree, to bring our ref show conversation to a close. Refs are going to screw things up. Generally, over the course of the game, I believe that these calls even themselves out. Yes, there have been examples in regular season basketball games in particular where referees have done nefarious stuff. Tim Donaghy, go watch that Untold Stories. It's the only good Untold Stories that they have, that documentary series about sports. Stuff was happening in the NBA, no doubt. I hope it wasn't happening in the playoffs. Maybe it was. Honestly, probably wouldn't have been that hard to do. Now with sports gambling legalized everywhere, I suppose that it's possible for the refs to actually change the result of a game. But it's very, very hard with the players that are trying their hardest on either side of the field, either side of the court. These calls even themselves out, and I think blaming the refs is soft boy material. Don't be a soft boy. Don't be bitching around Ime Udoka. Though I am bitching about the Rockets' lack of progress of late. Another 130-plus point performance against that defense? Yikes. That's all I got to say about that. Time for a little garbage time. I'm only
happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Junior Broncos comments. My disdain for the Aggies kind of wants me to see Dan Campbell and the Lions lose. Yeah, but Dan Campbell doesn't seem like an Aggie. No offense to the Aggies out there. I don't think Dan Campbell's ever gigged him in his life. Now, I could be wrong. Someone might send me a picture of Daniel Campbell, a younger man, doing that. But, yeah, he just doesn't strike me as someone who would, like, give the old thumbs up. And I'm not judging anyone who does or anyone who wears the ring. I'm just saying it's very different and kind of cultish. Hey! Remember that really annoying TikTok theory about who was going to play in the Super Bowl based off of the colors in the Super Bowl logo from this idiot on TikTok? A long, long time ago, at the start of the year, some girl decided to put together a conspiracy theory about who plays in the Super Bowl based off of the logo colors of late. My God, it's the worst. But since I want you to suffer, here she is again.
Every year, the NFL releases a Super Bowl logo. They do this like pre-playoffs. No one knows who's going to be in the Super Bowl. However, the NFL logo has two colors in it. In 2022, the logo had orange and yellow, and the teams that played in that Super Bowl were the Bengals and the Rams. In 2023, the logo had green and red, and the teams that played in the Super Bowl were the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm just saying, the logo this year is purple and red. It's giving San Francisco 49ers versus Ravens.
I hate the saying it's giving with such a passion. Everyone says it these days, but a television station on January 18th, while showing the weather, also announced who was going to be performing at the halftime show. Reba, Usher, Post Malone are slated to perform at San Francisco 49ers and Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl matchup on February 11th. So people were bringing that up and bringing up this dumb broad on TikTok, and they're saying, yeah, this is going to happen. And I want to die. I just hate the tinfoil hats that some people believe. The content creators, you know what? The game is the game. There's a lot of people who will believe a lot of stuff out there, right? Russian meddling, Pizzagate, blah, blah, blah. But the people who fall for it every single time, like, what is it about you that makes you such an easy mark? Is what I want to know, because that's what I think you are if you're falling for this stuff over and over again. And I would like to sell you an NFT or some crypto.
The best part is that the Super Bowl logos every year are like four different colors. And guess what? A lot of them are reds. Reds that fade into oranges and blues that fade into purples, which is most of the NFL.
Yes.
most of the colors.
Most teams in the NFL have a little red or a little bit of blue. It's the absolute effing worst. Anyway, guys, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to everybody who tuned in on our YouTube channel, the text line, our Twitch, and of course, Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Connor and Beard are up next from The Decoy. Stick around.
It's giving San Francisco 49ers versus Ravens.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.